If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading the first six verses of Genesis chapter 3 in just a moment. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For the Lord knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Let me ask you a question as we begin our lesson tonight. Is there any such thing as a dumb question? Now think about that for a minute. Is there any such thing as a dumb question? Now, the logic behind that statement is, for everything that needs to be known, there is an answer, right? For every question that is asked, there is an answer. But in fact, some questions seem dumb that we are asked. I have some samples here. This came from the captain of a cruise ship. And he compiled a list of questions that were asked by the passengers of his ship over the years. One person said, "Do these steps go up or down? Is this island completely surrounded by water? When is the midnight buffet?" Now, so, is there such a thing as a dumb question? One of the rangers of the Mesa Verde National Park came up with these questions that people had asked him. "Did people build these ruins or did the Indians do it? Why did they build them so close to the highway? Do you know of any other undiscovered ruins?" So is there such thing as a dumb question? I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. I don't want to talk about dumb questions tonight. I want to talk about dangerous questions. In fact, I want to talk about the most dangerous question ever asked to mankind. We've already heard it from the text. It comes from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And this is the question. "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, who would have thought that the serenity and the paradise of Eden would have been completely obliterated by this simple statement? But you know it was. Eden came to an end because of this one simple statement. In a moment, with one breath, man recklessly allowed Satan to introduce to them a little word called doubt. Satan introduced three items that would lead to the end of this paradise for man that was made for mankind, and end man's close relationship with God. Satan introduced doubt toward man. Now, God has never given Adam and Eve the slightest reason to doubt him, or to doubt his words, or to doubt his intentions for them. From the very beginning, God has only acted in Adam and Eve's best interest in life. Seven times in Genesis chapter 1, God proclaimed that the creation that he had just did was good. And at the very end of his creation, in verse 31, it says, he looked at everything that he had done, and behold, it was very good. Man would be God's crowning conclusion to his creation. Man would be given authority to dominate all of the other creatures of the earth that had been previously made. Verse 28 says that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. But Satan succeeded with one sentence in casting a shadow of doubt in Eve's mind about God and God's character. After he had done all of these things for mankind, you will not surely die, he told Eve. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And you know, I can just hear Satan doing this. God don't want you to be like him. He is all-knowing. He knows it all. He sees it all. He don't want you to have that kind of power. He don't want you to have that kind of knowledge. He wants to hold you back. He wants to keep you in your place. He doesn't want you to see things the way they really are. And he destroyed God's character and caused her to doubt her creator. Then he did something else. He introduced the idea for Eve to trust in him. Now there was absolutely no sound basis whatsoever for Eve to reasonably trust Satan. Yet she took an unthinkable leap from a trust in a God that she knew to this shifty serpent that this is the first time she had ever seen. In fact, as far as we know, other than Adam and maybe God himself, this was the only other voice that she has heard in her existence, however long it was. And she did not realize that he was out to get her. You know, the devil would later be described in inspiration as our adversary. Peter did this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then in Revelation chapter 12, the devil is referred to as the dragon, the old serpent. And he was the serpent when he had the encounter with Eve. So the great dragon was cast out, Revelation 12 verse 9. The old serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Jesus refers to him as the prince of the ruler of this world. John refers to him as the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 verse 2, and the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. So the devil has been labeled correctly, but you see, Eve didn't know any of this. What the devil did with her, he showed her something that she did not have. He showed her a lie of what she could become. And she listened. Have you ever listened to a salesperson and just be blown away by what he has said, and then you purchase whatever it is he's selling and you get it home and it's not what you thought it was? I guess we've all done that, haven't we? Yeah. This is what happened to Eve. She was told lie after lie. She was deceived. She was fooled by this shifty devil that she now trusted more than she trusted her God. As this terrible scene between Eve and Satan unfolded, God stands unseen in the background and watching mankind destroy their relationship with him. Solomon observed it this way, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29. Truly, this only have I found. God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And that's exactly what this world has come to, isn't it? Man has devised so many ways to challenge your trust, your faith, your love, your dedication to your God. And they have done so not by harshness or bitterness, but they have done so by painting a beautiful mural of what life can be like. We've all seen the commercials on TV of how beautiful life can be if you would only buy their product. And then you get it home and it does not do what it's supposed to. Every lie that the devil tells you will not do what it's supposed to in your own mind. They placed complete trust in the devil, the one who hated them and carefully plotted their destruction. And then the third thing that Satan did, he introduced death to mankind. This account of man reinforces the importance of the fact that God means what he said. If you eat of this fruit, or you touch it, you shall surely die. And every person that has breathed the breath of life has died. Now, this death was this is talking about a spiritual death. It's not talking about the physical death. Would man have physically died? We don't really know. What this is talking about is spiritual death. Satan has brought upon mankind spiritual death. And the warning has echoed through the ages of time. Paul, Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Spiritual death. Not necessarily physical death. Spiritual death. And not only that, but sin also created a barrier between man and God. You see, man was close to God. They were together when there was no sin in man's life. But now that sin has entered into the world, God can't be any part of sin. And man did it. Just as Isaiah said, Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. He introduced spiritual death and forced man to leave his presence. And here's the message for us today from this lesson. He does the same thing to you and me. He is just as busy today going after us as he was going after Eve. Eve started the snowball effect, and we have all kept it going. Now, we've already read where he has been described as a roaring lion. But Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, that the devil will transform himself into an angel of light. Now, you can bet your bottom dollar when that serpent showed itself to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he didn't show his fangs. He didn't stick his tongue out. Because when you see a snake do that, what do? You get out. You get away. He gave her no reason to run. He gave her no reason to fear. He just simply brought her into his domain. Jesus said that he will take away the word that has been sown into our hearts. And Paul warns us that we do not need to be ignorant of his devices. No matter how many pleasures Satan offers you, his intention is to ruin you, to destroy you. Fortunately, God has not left his people helpless. Temptation can be resisted. If we can remain steadfast in faith to our Lord, we can resist the devil and his temptations. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, resist him. Steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, Satan goes after everybody. He went after the people who were before you. He will go after the people who are beyond you. And he will never give up. James tells us that we can be free from Satan. We can flee from him by drawing near to God. James 4, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So you see, we are not helpless. God has made it possible for us to overcome the temptation of sin. Number one, he kept his promise by sending his Son, who, if we are faithful to him, if we love him, if we dedicate ourselves to him, we can overcome the sin that is going to face us someday in our lives. That promise was actually made right after this incident in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the devil. He's talking to Satan. I will see to it that you are overcome. This is the first prophecy of the coming of the Christ. God sees to it that we have a way out. You know, today, the one who asked this most dangerous question is desperately trying to keep the believer from asking the most important question, and that is, what must I do to be saved? Jesus has the answer for us if we will ask that question. Mark 16, 15 and 16, he who believes in me and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Satan will tell you that you don't have to obey God. Satan will tell you that you don't have to love God, that you can have your own way. You can work out your own salvation. And that's not true, friends. It must be God's way. Because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we do it God's way. If Eve had only done it God's way on that occasion, unfortunately, she didn't. And the world has to deal with Satan and his sins. But if we will do it God's way, God will help us overcome Satan and his temptations. Tonight, if you are not a Christian, render obedience to the gospel of Christ. Give him your life. Trust in him and not in what the devil says or the people around you say. It is Jesus' way. Christian friend, if you have gone back into the forbidden fruit, if you have left God and walked away from God because you have put your trust in the devil or in one of his agents, you can repent of that and you can come back to God. And we will give you that opportunity to do that now. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.